Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of Friends with Money, Money Magazine's podcast to help you earn, save, and achieve your financial goals. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine, and as always, it is a pleasure to be with you. Regular listeners will know full well that we do love an ETF-themed episode on Friends with Money, and we are not about to disappoint on that front today. We are venturing into new territory, though, at least for Friends with Money, because we are walking the line between the more established and, well, to some degree established, world of exchange-traded funds and the newer world of digital assets. Today, we will be taking a closer look at cryptocurrency ETFs. What are they? How do they work? What are the advantages? How have they performed? All those good questions and more. And to guide us along the way today, I'm very pleased to say that we are joined by Senior Investment Strategist at Global X ETFs, Mark Jokum. Mark, welcome back to Friends with Money, and thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me on the show, Tom. It's always good to chat.
Mark, I kind of came into this chat with a, you know, one burning question in particular. So, you know, perhaps it's a good place to kick things off. Let's say that my mate, Lewis, a very hypothetical mate, definitely not a real friend that I have named Lewis, he wants to add some cryptocurrency to his investment portfolio. What are the advantages of him using a crypto ETF to get exposure to the likes of Bitcoin or Ethereum or whatever it may be? You know, why wouldn't he just buy that Bitcoin or that Ethereum through a crypto exchange and I guess hold it himself?
It's a great question, Tom, and one that we hear quite often amongst our investors. Me, myself, before the first crypto ETF was actually created, I invested in cryptocurrencies through a crypto exchange platform. But I think the ETF wrapper has really instilled this sense of confidence for investors, because there's a lot of protective mechanisms involved in creating an ETF, particularly around tracking something like Bitcoin, that really employs this institutional-grade custody with very stringent security measures. It's got segregated wallet infrastructure. And all that means is when an investor goes to a crypto exchange, they are going to a relatively unregulated part of the market. And I think people want to almost FTX-proof their investment because they don't want to see what happened with FTX and Sam Bankman-Fried. And that's where the ETF is really just about simplicity and convenience. And for a lot of investors, I guess there's differences between going directly to a crypto exchange versus to an ETF. And it really comes down to a few things such as regulatory oversight. We mentioned before, direct exchanges lack that regulatory oversight, whereas an ETF is a regulated structure. There's the ownership aspect as well. Do you want to take care of your private keys and your own password themselves, or do you want to outsource it to an ETF who has a custodian that does it for you? And then the thing like fees as well. There's a lot of opaqueness when it comes to crypto exchanges in terms of conversion fees, transaction fees. Even though there's no fee to the actual fund manager like in an ETF, I still feel the only fee that you would pay when you're buying an ETF besides brokerage is the ETF management fee. So you do have that ability as well to get more transparency. And then lastly, it's just about how the Bitcoin's actually stored. Because when you store it in cold storage, that's held offline and can't be hacked or susceptible to hacking. Whereas if you sometimes do it through a direct exchange, if they don't have the right protocols in place in what's known as hot storage, traded online, there is a chance that it could be hacked. And then finally, for your listeners who use ETFs in their portfolios, think about things like rebalancing. Let's say you want to invest in Bitcoin and it's done really well, but now you're taking on a bit too much risk and you want to allocate it into another defensive asset, let's say like gold. Well, selling it on a crypto exchange and then rebalancing that into the ETF format is a little bit difficult. Whereas if you have two ETFs, you can just rebalance out of one and into the other. So I know a lot of crypto natives don't like the idea of ETFs because you're combining decentralized finance with traditional finance together. It's almost like this symbiotic relationship.
Hmm.
But I think the key is all about convenience and ease. And that's why Bitcoin ETFs have really taken off since they launched.
It's great to get your perspective on that, Mark. And, you know, really good questions for people who I guess are curious and haven't invested yet too well and to ask themselves when kind of making that choice. Before we kind of get into, taking a bit of a look under the hood of crypto ETFs and how they kind of structured and how they work. I just wanted to touch on like a really fundamental question, which is, you know, what kind of crypto assets are available? Because obviously, you know, there are thousands, if not tens of thousands of crypto assets out there in the world. And I'm assuming that there's not a corresponding crypto ETF for every one of those. So what kind of crypto assets can Australians currently get exposure to via ETFs?
You hit the nail on the head, Tom. There's, in fact, over 10,000 different cryptocurrencies available. So it's an absolute supermarket of cryptocurrencies and different coins. So it's massive. It's worth over $3 trillion US dollars in terms of the actual market. But a lot of it is still concentrated within the major cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, like Ethereum, and a few other ones. And I think that with that does pose some risk because there are many of those coins that I believe will eventually go to zero. They're called meme coins for a reason. They are made up on a particular meme or a particular joke. But the bulk of those cryptocurrencies do have broader applications. And I think it's almost analogous to the dot-com boom where, not to say that we're going to experience a crypto bust, but we saw a lot of companies launch an internet business without any backing behind it or without any revenue. And the strongest did survive, whereas a lot failed. And I think we might see the same within crypto land. And it's really key for investors to avoid the term rug pull, which is where some of these coins that are coming out really benefit the manufacturer of that particular product and the sponsors behind it. I've been following a lot of it closely with the likes of Hayley Welch's Hawk Tour coin, more recently in Argentina around the Libra token. That's more on a government level. So people need to be quite careful with this. And that's where I think the ETF has almost created this green light or the stamp of approval, because anything that kind of is made within an ETF is almost that vote of confidence that investors will be, okay, I can trust this vehicle. And that's why in Australia, as an example, we've only got two coins that are currently traded in an ETF format, which is Bitcoin and Ethereum. We may see more. We may see others like Litecoin and Solana and Ripple and a few other ones. There are some diversified ETFs overseas that hold a range of different cryptocurrencies. But I think it's really important for investors, particularly not just in crypto assets, but in general, to just understand the product that they're investing in rather than the hypothetical, you know, road to riches from some of these other cryptocurrencies. And that's where we've seen most of the flows have been going into Bitcoin ETFs because people have a story behind Bitcoin. They can understand it a bit more easily. It's probably the one with the longest track record as well versus some of the other cryptocurrencies, which is still, I guess, native in nature. So yeah, the two biggest ones, Bitcoin and Ethereum via the ETF wrapper.
Well, let's dig into those two cryptocurrencies in particular and you know, the ETFs that they, I guess, make up, if that's the right way to phrase it, a little bit more than by looking under the hood. So, Mark, I know that GlobalX has two Australian-listed crypto ETFs. How are those structured? You know, is there real cryptocurrency behind them, and how is that actually held? You touched on this a little bit in your first answer, but it'd be good to kind of go over that again very quickly.
Yeah, it's a great question. And when any investor invests in an ETF, really look under the hood, read the disclosures, understand what are they actually investing in. Because in Australia at the moment, there's ETFs that invest directly in crypto assets themselves, or there's also ETFs that invest in crypto companies, so those involved in the crypto industry. So that's an important distinguishment to start off with. And then when you're looking at the structure, there's a range of different ways that a crypto ETF in Australia can be structured. One is known as a one-tier structure, where all you do is the ETF is holding the Bitcoin or the Ethereum directly as just a underlying holding, and you need a specific license to be able to do that. The other is what's known as a two-tier structure, where there's almost like this middle fund in between that holds a Bitcoin for you, and you just get exposure by investing in that underlying fund. And one of the reasons GlobalX decided to go through that path, the latter path, is because of the speed to market. And we were able to get that to market in 2022, a long way before even the US introduced their Bitcoin ETFs in 2024. So it's really important to understand, are you investing in derivatives that are trading the Bitcoin or Ethereum price, or what's known as the futures market, or are you holding the Bitcoin directly? And for us, even though we use that two-tier structure, you still have absolute entitlement to that underlying cryptocurrency. We've even had clients in our fund. So we run the Bitcoin, the GlobalX 21 Shares Bitcoin ETF fund, EBTC. We've had clients actually say, you know what? I don't want to use the ETF wrapper. Can I actually redeem the physical coin into my own crypto wallet? And clients have done that. So for me, I mean, I love the ETF wrapper. I don't know why I would go down that path, but just to have that ability to know that it's physically backed and you can actually redeem it is a great positive, similar to our gold ETFs as well. And even though, I guess, Bitcoin itself can trade 24/7, I guess because the market only trades between 10 and 4 also acts as that almost behavioral hack that you don't have to be trading all the time. Mm. So when you buy a unit in our Bitcoin fund, a lot of the money that's traded with an ETF is usually between investors on the secondary exchange, like between you and me, Tom. But let's say that you actually wanted to create a new unit of this ETF. Well, there's actually these big banks known as market makers and authorized participants that will actually go out to the crypto exchanges and will actually buy the physical Bitcoin, and then it gets held by an institutional custodian. And we use Coinbase, which is one of the largest crypto custodians in the world. There's insurances behind it, there's audits behind it, and they obviously have to trade within a particular window, and they aggregate data on the underlying index that we track based on multiple crypto exchanges. And then for our Bitcoin ETFs and Ethereum ETFs, we convert it into Australian dollars rather than US dollars. So very important. There's a range of different structures. Do your due diligence, but do ask if it actually holds the underlying Bitcoin ETF and can you get actual entitlement to it or not?
Yeah, more great questions and a great kind of dig into how that works, Mark. I must say that I didn't fully appreciate that. So it's good to have that explained. Just one quick question before we move on. You know, people have probably come across the term spot ETF in relation to cryptos and might be curious to know, you know, what that actually means and where that fits into what you've already talked about. So what is a spot ETF, Mark?
So when you hear the word spot, that means that invests directly in the underlying exposure. So when I say a spot Bitcoin ETF, you are investing in physical Bitcoin that you have absolute entitlement towards. And that's very different to something like, let's say, a oil ETF, right? No one wants to take physical delivery of the actual oil themselves and store it in their backyard. So that is done via derivative known as futures. And that's where you can sometimes see in the ETF name, it might have something like synthetic or complex or something around that nature. So that's a good indicator or a good clue for investors to know. Similar with our gold ETF, that's also trading the price of spot gold because you've got underlying exposure to gold. It's not an IOU, it's not a future-based contract. So for investors, again, they do care about the price, but when you're trading the derivatives market, it can get a bit more complex based on the pricing of short-term contracts, long-term contracts, having to roll one contract to another once one expires. And that's where people just want simplicity. It's like owning, if you want to own the ASX 200, you want to know that you're owning those physical 200 companies. So when you see spot, think of physical ownership of the underlying commodity or the underlying asset themselves.
Great explainer. But I've definitely got the idea of a bit of oil storage in my backyard stuck in my head now. So I'll try to banish that because there's definitely no space for that. Mark, we've got a much better idea of how these crypto ETFs work, but can you give us a sense of how they've actually performed recently, perhaps, you know, over the past 12 months or so far in 2025, just to give us an idea of how they've performed?
Yeah, I mean, the past 12 months has been exceptional for Bitcoin, to say the least. We've seen prices rise around about 90% in Bitcoin ETFs. Wow. And even year to date, we've still seen the Bitcoin price also rise by around about 20% so far in 2025. So been a really, really strong year when it comes to performance-wise for these ETFs. And I think that's due to a range of different factors, Tom. The first has really been around the rise of ETFs. So even though Australia and here at GlobalX, we were the first to launch the first Bitcoin ETF in Asia Pacific in 2022, in the US, they only just approved Bitcoin ETFs in January 2024. So they've just passed their 12-month birthday or their one-year birthday. And we've seen tens of billions of dollars going into these ETFs. And we can touch on that a little bit later. But naturally, as more people buy these ETFs, what does the ETF have to do? Goes and buys that actual Bitcoin. And ETFs now hold, I think, actually more Bitcoin than the famous founder of Bitcoin, which was Satoshi Nakamoto. So you're starting to see a lot more pickup in these ETFs, which naturally propels the price. You've also seen Trump come to presidency, and he has been a big advocate of cryptocurrency. He wants to create a Bitcoin reserve in the US. He's adopted he's appointed a pro-crypto friendly cabinet as well. So it's been on a crazy run in terms of the Bitcoin price. Ethereum hasn't done as well. It's relatively flat over the year. And I think that's where there's different applications. You know, when you think about Bitcoin, a lot of people consider it as an alternative currency to fiat currency like the US dollar, whereas Ethereum is more of a platform that enables other developers to build these decentralized apps using things like smart contracts. And Ethereum has faced a few headwinds, such as scalability issues. It's moving towards from a proof of stake to a proof of work concept. And there's other blockchains as well, like Solana, which has also got a bit more market share. And then there's a bit of security concerns and vulnerabilities. And as I mentioned before, Tom, Bitcoin has a very simple narrative because a lot of people sometimes refer to it as digital gold. And I don't think Ethereum has that yet. And the research has shown that even though Bitcoin is a very volatile asset class, I mean, even though it's up 150, close to 100% over the last year, and it was also up in 2023, you got to remember there were years where Bitcoin fell 60 to 70 to 80%, like in 2022, 2018. So we're seeing a lot of clients allocate a small portion of their portfolio to things like Bitcoin ETFs to help achieve a little bit of diversification, a little bit of risk-adjusted returns, and some potential upside without having the need to have to go all in on Bitcoin and handle that volatility. So it's been an exceptional 12 months, year to date. Hopefully the good performance can continue as well.
Mark, you alluded to it there, but maybe you'd be able to touch on, I guess, the popularity that you've seen at GlobalX in terms of the popularity of crypto ETFs with Australian investors. What kind of inflows have you seen?
Yeah, in 2024, really popular. We had over $300 million come into crypto ETFs. That compares to $12 million in 2023. And even so far now in 2025, we're recording this in February, we've had over 50 million come in. So really, wow. A really good start to the year. Not as great as what we've seen the tens of billions in the US come through, but the ETF industry here for crypto assets is now worth well over $500 million and could, approach a billion over the next year or so. And we're starting to see a bit more institutional adoption as well. You're seeing some big sovereign wealth funds in the US and in Abu Dhabi embrace ETFs. Not so much in Australia just yet. We have seen some superannuation funds express their interest in Bitcoin, but still not adopting the ETF wrapper just yet. But that may change over time.
I think you've segued perfectly there with may change over time to team you up for my last question, which is about the future. So, Mark, what do you think could be coming up in this space? For instance, could we see new ETFs offering exposure to crypto assets other than Bitcoin or Ethereum in Australia? Could we see some of those, asset crypto ETFs that you talked about that are already happening overseas? What do you think is coming up?
Yeah, definitely. And I like to think here at GlobalX, we're trying to innovate as much as possible to bring products to market that Australian investors will find relevant. We've seen overseas the floodgates open a little bit for other crypto ETFs tracking the likes of Litecoin, Solana, Ripple. So again, there's not going to be an ETF that probably tracks every single cryptocurrency out there, but at least the mainstream ones that a lot of investors want exposure to, we'll probably see some more innovation in that side. And then in terms of product structure, so I'd be really interested to see in not just getting access to spot Bitcoin or spot Ethereum themselves, but how can you also look to generate income from these particular products, whether it's things like staking or using derivatives. There's some ETFs that are looking to launch in the US around providing a level of downside protection, maybe capping how much you can lose within a particular cryptocurrency, or perhaps blending it with other crypto assets or other asset classes in itself to provide a bit more of a diversified ETF. And once we start to see a bit more institutional adoption, well, there may be more ETFs coming to market. And there's around about 8 ETFs now, just over half a dozen ETFs in the Australian market. There could potentially be even more that come. So I'm really excited about the potential future of crypto ETFs. ETFs are a great innovation. They've only been around for, 20, 25 years here in Australia, but they provide a great access point and a great area for ETF issuers like GlobalX to innovate and bring something to market that Australian investors will find handy to use in their investment journey.
Well, I think that's fascinating. It's a good point to end the show on. And if any of those developments do hit Australian shores, we'll definitely have to get you back on the pod to have a chat about them, Mark. So thank you so much for coming on, for doing an excellent job explaining everything crypto ETFs. And as I said, we'll definitely get you back on the show before too long.
My pleasure, Tom. Thanks again.
That's it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast. But don't forget to jump on our website, moneymag.com.au, for your daily dose of financial news. Or you can go grab yourself a copy of the latest edition of Money Magazine in all good newsagents. As always, Friends with Money will be right back in your podcast feed next week. So until then, my name is Tom Watson. Goodbye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.